Heroes of Civilization, presented by Dr. Norrie DeMaurier. No man ever earned the title Hero of Civilization more fully than Ignaz Semmelweis, a young Hungarian doctor who, by his courage and perseverance, proved that the terrible mortality among mothers during childbirth in the middle of the 19th century was avoidable. In the year 1846, we find Ignaz Semmelweis, a member of the 1st Maternity Division at the Vienna General Hospital. In 1 year, 451 women had died of childbed fever. The chief of the hospital and the other professors shook their heads at the fell despoiler which stalked like a mysterious assassin through the wards and muttered in their beards the words regrettable, unavoidable. But young Ignaz was made of different stuff. It is April 1846, and we find him attending a young woman in the ward of the notorious 1st Maternity Division. Sweat is pouring off his prematurely bald head. His black eyes are furious with anger. His chin is thrust out, but his voice is gentle, and he speaks to the girl lying exhausted on her pillow.
There, my pretty one. It is all over now. And look what the Holy Virgin has sent you.
Boy, Herr Doctor.
A boy? Why do all you women want a boy? To make your husbands love you only more, I suppose. Yes, mein lieb, it's a boy. And what a beautiful baby he is, too. Like his lovely mother. Here, cuddle him up to you and try and rest that little body of yours. God, what a picture you both make. Your husband will be the proudest man in Vienna when he is able to take you both home.
But if I don't die of childbed fever in the meantime...
Who says you're going to die of childbed fever?
Forgive me, Herr Doctor, but I'm so terrified of it. 6 women died only yesterday. And look, they're carrying another one out now. Oh, Doctor, Doctor, take me to the 2nd Division.
Oh, there.
Oh, no, I'll die of the fever if I stop here. There's a curse on this ward, and I'll never come out alive.
Oh, there, mein lieb. You'll be all right.
I'll die, I tell you. I'm dying. I know I will.
Dr. Semmelweis.
Yes.
May I speak to you a moment?
Yes. What's the matter? 1 moment. Now, try and get a little sleep, mein lieb. I will have you transferred to the 2nd Division.
Oh, thank you, Herr Doctor.
Now, young man. What is the matter? Eh?
Your friend Kolechka, the pathologist, died this morning from blood poisoning.
Kolechka dead? And from blood poisoning?
Yes, Herr Doctor. You remember one of the students accidentally cut him with a knife during an autopsy on one of the fever patients.
Mm. And I suppose the wound became infected by the foul tissue he was handling. Hiccots. That's it. Why didn't I think of it before? Where's Professor Klein?
In his office, Herr Doctor.
I must go to him at once.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Dr. Semmelweis. How are all the patients? I don't seem to be able to find the time lately to visit the wards.
There will be soon no need for anyone to visit the wards, Professor Klein. The patients will all be dead of childbed fever, and we're to blame.
I'm afraid I don't understand you. What do you mean?
I mean that this morning Kolechka died from blood poisoning, contracted in the autopsy room.
And what has that to do with childbed fever?
Everything. Childbed fever is nothing more nor less than blood poisoning, and we are to blame for the germs infecting the patients.
In what way?
We came straight from the dead house, and the autopsies on the bodies of the fever patients to the wards. No precaution is taken to cleanse our hands other than to wash them with soap and water. Our fingernails, our hands, our hair, our clothing are alive with the deadly virus we bring from the dead house. We are murderers, myself included, and I don't hesitate to say so. And moreover, I'm not making any excuses, for we had a right as medical men to realize the appalling crime we were committing.
Crime, Herr Doctor?
Yes, crime.
What nonsense. What proof have you that you infected the patients in the wards?
Kolechka's death this morning, for one thing. And the fact that in the 2nd Division, the death rate is 5 times less than in the 1st Division.
And how do you account for the difference?
Midwives look after the 2nd Division, and midwives don't go near the autopsy room. They leave that filthy job to the doctors and students in charge of the 1st Division. And it is in this notorious first division that the death rate is so enormous.
And what do you propose to do about it, Herr Doctor?
I insist that every professor, doctor, and student who conducts an examination on a patient shall first cleanse his hand in chlorine water. Insist that he soak them, and keep on soaking them until the foul death which covers them is destroyed.
With the introduction of the chlorine wash and the proper sterilization of instruments, the death rate dropped to 1 in 100. But later, due to the criminal carelessness of some of the doctors, it started to rise again. Semmelweis, in his office, hears a priest and his bell ringer approaching. He flings the office door open in anger.
Holy Father! In the name of mercy, stop that bell ringing! This is the fourth time today that you've gone through the wards heralding the death of some poor creature. Can't you see the effect it's having upon those others lying on their beds of agony?
The blessed rites of the last sacrament must be performed, my son.
I know that, Holy Father, but surely it is time enough to ring your bell when you are near the death room, not here in the passage, and for mercy's sake, not in the wards. The inmates are dying fast enough from this new infection without frightening them to death. Oh, forgive me, Holy Father, for speaking so harshly to a man of God, but I am heartbroken. All my work is being undone by the petty jealousy of the Herr Professors, who bitterly resent the fact that I, the Hungarian whippersnapper, as they call me, had the temerity to turn their moth-eaten theories upside down by discovering and removing the cause of this childbed fever.
My son, I realize exactly your stress of mind, and I will pray that you be given the strength and fortitude to carry on your fight against ignorance and wicked jealousy.
Thank you, Father.
Have you any idea what is causing this new epidemic?
Yes, filth and neglect, Father. I learned only this morning that one of the patients had cancer, and after examining her, the learned professors and doctors went straight to other patients and examined them. Moreover, to save laundry expenses, it is not unusual for a new patient to be placed in the same bed and covered with the same bed linen that has previously been used by an unfortunate who has died of infection. I'm waiting now for some of this befouled linen to be brought to me. In passing, I might tell you that 11 deaths resulted from the cancer patient. Now, perhaps you can understand the turmoil that is beating in my brain, the mental anguish which makes me turn like a mad dog upon a saint like yourself.
I am but a man, my son, like yourself, who has a duty to perform, but your duty is the harder of the two. I will go now. Rest assured that my lay brother shall no longer disturb your poor sufferers with his bell.
Here are the bed sheets you asked for, Herr Doctor.
Yes, I notice you hold them on sticks.
Yes, Herr Doctor. They're from the deathbed of an infectious case.
Give them to me. I will take them to the high government official, Professor Klein.
Come in. Oh, has the Herr Doctor turned into a linen maid?
No, Herr Professor. I've come to thrust under your nose the linen which has been used on beds of infection. The linen that has also been used a second time without being washed. Here, examine it. How do you like it, eh? Imagine it around your own body.
Take it away. Take it away. It is alive with germs.
Ah, so it makes you squirm, eh? And yet you are a strong, healthy man. Consider its effect on a frail woman. A woman who is about to become a mother, and who knows by the awful stench of this linen that she is lying on a bed of doom. You are to blame, Herr Professor, you and no one else, with your scratching and scraping to cut down laundry bills at the expense of human lives. Alter it, do you hear, or by heaven I'll come and wrap the next lot around your own stupid head till I smother you in its foulness, whilst I denounce you before God and the world as a murderer.
How dare you speak to me like this, your superior officer? I shall procure your instant dismissal from this hospital.
Very well. Procure it.
And Semmelweis was dismissed for his frankness, so thousands of young mothers continued to die. Later, he wrote a scientific work on the subject, which caused a tremendous stir among the members of the medical profession. Soon after, his health gave way, and we now find him bedridden, his mind as feeble as his body. His wife, Marie, sits beside him.
It's a boy. It's a boy. You, Father, You know what it means to call a doctor to your wife's bedside. It means you are endangering her life. Chlorine water, that's it. Chlorine water. Soak and soak and soak your hands in it, you hear?
No.
Oh, Mari, what's wrong with me?
Hush, dear. Don't excite yourself.
Oh, there's something wrong with my head. It's burning. It's on fire. I'm going mad,
there's
mad.
Enough.
Old Klein, what does he know about blood poisoning? I know. And what I know, I have written in my books, haven't I, dear?
Yes, Ignaz. You're a great man now. Only doctors are reading your books and accepting your theories.
They must accept them. They must. Thousands of women dying through ignorance. This murder has got to stop. Mari, this murder of women has got to stop.